Good evening. Brother Joel has asked us to read from Matthew 6, 19 to 34. Matthew 6, 19 to 34. And again, myself also, I just was interested. It was neat to hear the songs that we sung about heaven. And then I looked at the title of the lesson or the message tonight, Laying Up Treasures in Heaven. And I had to think, what treasures do I value more, the treasures of this earth or the treasures in heaven? And I think it's probably a good one for me tonight because I got one of those nights where things, one of the treasures we have on this earth kind of don't look so good. It's like they're breaking down, and you can get yourself down a little bit. And I had to think what it says there in that one verse, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And when things break down that we own in this earth, and we get really concerned with it, you kind of have to think, where is our treasure? Has it been the things of this earth, or has it been the things of heaven? Okay, starting with verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat and what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubic unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Wherefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or withal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. All who are able, let us kneel for prayer.
Good evening again to each one this evening. Welcome to the Lord's house. Greetings in Jesus' precious name. I trust you all have had a good day. I certainly did, visiting among your members today. Blessed from start to finish. It is truly a joy to visit older folks, to hear what the Lord has done in their lives, and to hear of God's faithfulness through the years. It gives those of us who are younger the encouragement that we need to recognize that God is a faithful God and he will see us through as well. Also thankful for a good evening meal at Brother Dwayne and Sister Dina's. Good time of fellowship there as well. And the singing this evening got us off to a great start tonight, and I trust the Lord has something in store for each one of us tonight. Jesus' mission and purpose in coming to earth was to give us life and to open up a way for us to experience abundant life. Many times we think of Jesus' life and ministry only in spiritual terms, But Jesus, as he walked here on earth, experienced life in the physical sense, just as we do. And he left us an example to follow. His life and example show us the proper way to view life and to experience the abundant life that he intends for us. You know, many times we have a tendency to divide life into the spiritual and the physical. But Jesus did not live his life that way, nor did he teach us to live that way. Jesus integrated the physical aspects of life into his relationship with God, and he intends that we do the same. One example of this is the subject of money that we will be dealing with in the message this evening. We may be tempted to think that money is a secular issue and that it has nothing at all to do with our spiritual life. But we learn otherwise in the scriptures that the Bible mentions the subject of money in more than 2,000 verses. Jesus addressed the subject of money many, many times. As he taught the people about the need for heart transformation, he taught that it will affect every area of our lives. Every aspect of our life must come under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Even our attitude toward money will be affected. And I believe a proper perspective on money and its use will be one sign of genuine spirituality in our lives. It's interesting that as Jesus taught, he did not magnify poverty, nor did he criticize getting wealth in a legitimate way. I believe Jesus taught that money is simply a tool that should be used properly in our lives. Using money properly should be a major concern for us as believers. For there's a right way and a wrong way to use money. For example, money should not be used as a way to measure value or worth in another person. But it is our responsibility to provide for our families, to give to others in need, and to support the work of spreading the gospel around the world. These are right ways to use money. Doing these things is good and right, and I believe what it means to lay up treasure in heaven, in a general sense. But tonight we'd like to look at some specific principles of what it means to lay up treasures in heaven. As we look at the subject of money this evening, we learn that laying up treasure in heaven means using our money to accomplish things of eternal significance. There are many things today that we can be tempted to spend money on that are trivial, short-sighted, or perhaps even wasteful. These are things that really have no eternal significance whatsoever. Things of that nature would be what we call laying up treasure on earth. And we will continue the contrast between the two as we go through the message this evening. The first principle we want to learn this evening about what it means to lay up treasures in heaven is that we are called to be good stewards. There are several aspects of good stewardship. One is recognizing that everything that we have and treat as our property actually belongs to God. Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." Stewardship means that we have the perspective of the little girl that lived in the city while visiting the countryside one day. On a school trip, she saw some beautiful flowers that she had never seen before. And so she asked her teacher, "Do you think God would mind if I picked some of his flowers. That is the perspective of a good steward. A steward is not an owner, but one who manages the property of another. If everything belongs to God, then we are simply stewards of the things on earth. And we are called to manage the things of earth wisely, in accordance with God's will and for His glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." God created the world and everything in it, and He has placed mankind in charge of managing these things in a manner that pleases Him. That requires certainly diligence on our part. But I believe it also requires us to do so with a godly worldview. There are those today who lack this godly worldview. And an example of this are those who become unreasonably obsessed with preserving the earth. Their ungodly thinking leads them to believe that the resources of earth must be rationed so that they can last for many millennia to come. But I believe these folks lack the knowledge of the promise that God will provide for our needs, and also that someday soon God will bring judgment upon the earth. And the scripture says that the elements shall melt with fervent heat. They will be destroyed. That will then usher in the time when God brings about a new heaven and a new earth. A godly worldview requires us to be good stewards, but it also relieves us the pressure that we must somehow find a way to extend earth's resources infinitely into the future. Another aspect of good stewardship is recognizing that God has given us all things to enjoy. God knows what we need in life to survive, and He generously provides it. We are free to use the things that He has created and provided for us, but we must be good stewards by not wasting these things that God has given us. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, and I'm quoting the last half of the verse. It says, "Nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." It is not wrong to possess things, but it is wrong for those things to possess us. And by that I mean it is wrong to be controlled or bound by the earthly possessions that we have. That means that these things should not be our first priority in life, nor should they take all of our time so that we are unable to do what is more important. Our earthly possessions, as we all know, have a way of demanding our time and our attention. And if we are not careful, if we do not intentionally keep these in a proper perspective, they will require an overwhelming amount of time and attention from us and take our attention away from other more important things in life. And so another aspect of good stewardship is guarding against the tendency to accumulate possessions beyond what is necessary or reasonable. If we fail to recognize this danger, our possessions will increasingly control us and take us to the point where these earthly things become the most important thing in our lives. The Bible warns against the sin of covetousness and idolatry. And one of these verses is very, very sobering. Ephesians 5:5, where it says, "For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." covetousness and idolatry are put in the same category as immorality, as that which will keep a person out of the kingdom of God. And so we learn that good stewardship in all aspects of life is a principle that's necessary in order to lay up treasure in heaven. The second main point that I'd like to make this evening is that earthly treasure is fleeting. Jesus himself warned of the dangers of covetousness. He said in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, "Beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." This is what he was warning about here in our text in Matthew chapter 6. Again, a godly worldview comes into play. We were created as eternal beings, and we will outlive the resources of this earth. No matter how much we accumulate here on this earth, we will leave it all behind. You know, I believe it's a universal desire for us as people to acquire material things. And I think there's a couple reasons for this. First of all, we have a natural tendency to hoard, to save up things in case we need them later. You know, it's easier to walk by sight than it is by faith. But as believers, we are called to walk by faith and trust God for the things we need. Not that we shouldn't plan ahead or work to provide for ourselves. But we need not worry or be overly anxious about the material things of life. This passage teaches us that God knows what we need, and he will provide for us as we trust him day by day. After all, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, don't we ask God to supply our needs? When we say those simple words, "Give us this day our daily bread," we are committing ourselves to God and trusting that he will provide what we need. Second, I believe a reason we tend to accumulate earthly possessions is because we have a natural tendency to be discontent. We never seem to have enough. I believe contentment is a quality that must be cultivated in our lives, along with gratefulness. Gratefulness for what we have and who has provided it will greatly help us foster contentment in our lives. The Bible encourages contentment. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 8, it says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content." Contentment is also a quality that, if we learn it, will remind us that this world's treasure has no lasting value. The principle that Jesus was teaching in this passage is that the things we accumulate here on earth, we can't take with us when we die. But if we use our earthly resources to invest in things of an eternal nature, we can send them to heaven ahead of us. Randy Alcorn calls this the treasure principle. And he has written about it in detail, and I am referencing some of his thoughts in the message this evening. We will get to the benefits of heavenly treasure and its ability to endure a little later in the message. But for now, I'd like us to understand the fleeting nature of earthly treasure. A couple of aspects I'd like to bring out concerning earthly possessions. First of all, they can enslave us. We can potentially become so consumed with accumulating earthly things that they take up all of our time. They can end up taking much attention, and they can end up taking much of our money. Materialism is the word we use to describe when a person is shackled or bound by their earthly possessions. It's the condition when these things take the place of God in their life. Our heart can become totally devoted to the things that we have, and many times these things take the place of God in our hearts and become that which we are more loyal to than God. They can win the loyalty of our hearts, and that is tragic. Secondly, the fleeting nature of earthly possessions means that they are subject to deterioration and loss. And Jesus points this out in his teaching in the opening passage. Jesus said that earthly treasures are vulnerable to a whole host of things. They can become moth-eaten. They can be destroyed by rust. And they can be lost to theft. The things of earth are extremely vulnerable. One day we have them, the next day we may not, because they are fleeting. All kinds of things in this world affect the possessions that we have. War and political upheaval can bring about things like tariffs and sanctions and other economic factors such as inflation, recession, depreciation. All of these things affect the value of what we have in the earthly sense. Our earthly possessions can also be affected by things such as natural disasters, fires, storms, floods, earthquakes, infestation of insects can affect what we possess. One day we have these things, the next day we may not. Also, criminal activity can affect what we have. We can be robbed, stolen from, our identity can be stolen, and our assets depleted in a matter of hours. Earthly treasure is fleeting. One day we have it, the next day we may not. And for that reason, our earthly possessions become things that bring us worry, anxiety, frustration, which ultimately can rob us of the joy that should be present in our lives because of all that God has done for us. We need to keep in mind that money and the things of earth ultimately do not satisfy. Again, it's a tragic loss when these things take the place of God in our lives. When those very same things, if kept in the proper perspective and used for the glory of God and invested in a proper way, can become things that yield eternal dividends. And with that, we want to move on to the final point of the message this evening, and that is that heavenly treasure will endure. The point that Jesus was making in this passage is that the most secure investment in this life is in heavenly treasure. The only safe and secure thing in this world is to invest in those things of an eternal nature. So what does it mean to lay up treasure in heaven? It means to use all that we have for the glory of God. It means to hold on loosely to the material things of life. That means surrendering them to God and using them as He would ask us to. That might mean doing without some possession that we would really like to have. That might mean giving away something that we already have to someone who has a need. Laying up treasure in heaven means that all that we have belongs to God. That does not just mean our tithe. I believe it means all of our money, all of our time, all of our energy, all of our abilities. Laying up treasure in heaven means that we dedicate our entire being to God. Not just in a material way, but in a spiritual dedication to God, that we commit our all to God to use as He sees fit. Laying up treasure in heaven means that we dedicate our children to God, not just in ceremony, not just in theory, but in practice. It means that we let God use them as He sees fit. And I've seen numerous examples where I believe parents have struggled in this area. I've seen parents where their number one aim in life, it seemed to me, was that their children excel in sports. There's nothing wrong with sports and recreation. But it seemed to me that some parents are so invested in their children's sports that their only goal is to see them make the NBA or the NFL or some other famous program where their children would become popular in this world. I've seen parents, I believe, micromanage their children's lives, where initial plans that were made for them to go to the mission field were suddenly canceled, perhaps because of parents micromanaging their children. I believe it is difficult for parents to see their children go to the mission field. And I've heard from missionaries themselves saying the most opposition that they received was from their very own parents. But I believe it's tonight we need to recognize that we need to let go and let God use our children as He sees fit. I remember in my pre-ordination interview, I was asked about what my passion is in ministry. And as I took a deep breath and prepared to give a detailed answer, one brother on the panel just kind of quietly interrupted me and he said, "Your number one mission field is your family." And that didn't take away from what my passion is in ministry, but it was a wake-up call for me. The manner in which that brother said that grabbed my attention in a new way, and I never forgot that advice. And I respect that brother for giving it. And so we hold on to our children and teach them and train them deliberately. And then God asks us to release them for His use. How difficult that can be. I'm beginning to learn that as a parent. Yet, there is no greater treasure than knowing that our children are in the center of God's will, no matter where they may be on the globe. There is no greater treasure than knowing that our children are in the center of God's will, no matter where they may be on the globe. And so if our children make the NBA or the NFL or the MLB, great. But if God uses them on the mission field, may I as a parent be free to let them go and to let God use them. I believe laying up treasure in heaven also means being serious about investing in the lives of people. Every human being is made in the image of God. Every human being has a soul that will never die. And every human being needs to hear of the good news of the gospel. And so doing what we can, and as God has gifted us, to expose people to the good news, I believe, is laying up treasure in heaven. Many times, I believe, we do well for a while and then we become discouraged or become disenfranchised with how well that kind of work goes. Or we become cynical and we do not put as much effort into investing in the lives of people as we ought. I understand how difficult it is to work with some people. Some people do not want to hear what we have to say. But I preach to myself tonight. It is our calling as the children of God to share the good news with others. We need to reach out to the prisoners, to the homeless, to the discouraged, to the rebellious. It's hard and sometimes it's messy. It makes us uncomfortable, but it is what we are called to do. Reaching out in the community and being of service to others is at times uncomfortable work. It stretches us beyond what is comfortable. But I believe it's what we are called to do and to be as the children of God. To invest in the lives of people is laying up treasure in heaven. I've shared a number of ways tonight that we can lay up treasure in heaven. Each one of us must evaluate our own heart and determine where we stand in regard to our money and our earthly possessions. Are we using what God has given us for His glory or for our own ambitions? Are our possessions surrendered to God? And are we willing to do with them as He directs? Are we invested in the lives of people? Are we willing to give all of our time and talents and resources to invest in the lives of those who have never heard? And so in closing this evening, I have two take-home statements that we need to consider this evening. The first one comes from verse 24 of our opening passage. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. And here's the key point. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. One or the other will take priority in our lives. Which one takes priority for us? And sometimes we have trouble answering that question. We may really struggle, and I guess Brother Brian's question at the beginning of the message last evening really made me think. He asked the question, if we could have anything at all in this world, what would it be? I believe this is essentially the same question. Is it God or is it mammon? Is it God or is it something else? We may really struggle with that question. Well, the second statement that I'd like us to consider tonight may help us answer that question. And this is in verse 21 of the opening passage. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. All we have to do is ask ourselves, where is our heart? And we will be able to answer the question whether God's number one in our life or if it's something else. Because our heart always follows our treasure. So we simply need to ask tonight, where is our heart? And once we have the answer to that, we know where our treasure is. Our heart will always follow our treasure. Many things of this life can cause us to worry and to be anxious and fear that we will not have what we need. But Jesus encourages us and challenges us to put God first and to put our trust in Him. Verse 33, Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. As we give God first priority in our life, we recognize the promise that He has given us that our needs will be supplied. Maybe not to the degree that we would desire or in our timing, but may we trust that God will do what He has promised, that He will provide for us as we give Him first place in our life. So tonight we want to ask the question, as we sing a hymn of invitation, where is our treasure? Are we laying up treasure in heaven? Tonight, if your treasure is not being laid up in heaven, maybe you recognize that your treasure is here on earth, and you would like to make the commitment to begin laying up treasure in heaven tonight. Maybe you would want to respond to the gospel invitation by standing or coming forward. However the Spirit would lead tonight, may you be obedient to the Spirit's leading as we sing. What number shall we sing?